Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Saturday night show, The Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad to be here, and I'm glad that everyone that's here is here. And let's say hello before we get started. We have, look like Sister Sharon here first. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes, good evening, and I'm so glad to be here. I'm happy to hear your voice, and I am really excited about tonight's program, Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I love it.
Amen. 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 So how did Friday morning go? I spoke twice. I did speak in Kenya. It was real rough. The connection wasn't good. The camera, it was making me, seriously, it was making me like dizzy because the camera was not steady. It was moving. It was fluttering. Okay. So there was all sorts of, but anyways, I did preach on the Blessed Hope. And then we followed in Pakistan, and that went well again. I mean, it was incredible. And there was several pastors there that had been at the first one that I had in Islamabad, because this one was in Islamabad also, and somehow Jamil didn't tell me about it. He says he did, but anyways, it worked out. I literally just finished in Kenya, and then I got preaching in Pakistan, but there were numbers of pastors that heard it for the second time. And when you preach, you never preach something the same. So they loved it. They loved it. Absolutely loved it. So we're getting and then there was a whole bunch of, we had 200 souls. It's come down each time. We had 400, 300, and 200. We had salvations, healing the broken heart, physical healings. People said that they could feel God's power moving in them. So it was a really good time. Now today, I was supposed to speak in Kenya again, but I had a complete Skype breakdown here, and it took me the longest time to figure out what was going on and get it Skype running. I want to get away from Skype and get to Zoom, because Skype's going to end in May, but I am having trouble with Skype. So I didn't get to speak in Canada, and I've been trying to contact Pastor Zephaniah and have not been able to contact him. So I'm a little concerned tomorrow, because I'm supposed to speak there tomorrow and in Nigeria. But anyways, Friday was a very, very good day, speaking twice.
Right. Well, we were only able to, on Rumble, pick up the one. The other one would not load and play.
Which one did you pick up?
Oh, my goodness. The one that was for an hour. I would have to, Pakistan, I think.
Oh, okay.
The one you did first. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
And
good. And how did prayer go
so,
Friday night?
oh, well, we had a very, very pleasant time Friday night. And we had a good amount of people showed up, you know, our friends, our regulars and everything. And we just did, a lot of praying. We did. And
Good.
Of course, you know, we prayed for you and Nancy and
Thank you.
And the weather. And all I got to say is we need to pray for the weather right now. It's
Well,
bad.
I'll tell you what happened this morning. There must have been, I don't want to exaggerate, but there was a thick film of pollen and all of that. And my head almost exploded. Oh my goodness. Oh, the top of my head was throbbing. My eyes were even throbbing and burning.
You had all the pollen in your hair and
was
that for real?
It was everywhere. It was in thick.
Oh, wow.
So I stayed inside to keep away. And I had to do a couple things. So I said, well, I'm going to go outside. And I felt fine. It lifted.
Yeah.
But it was
bad.
It was really bad this morning. I mean, really bad.
Right. I believe you. No. See, that's something that had happened to me, you know, lots of times when I was a little kid. You know, just like you're being attacked by pollen and stuff. It's all over you, your clothes, your hair, and everything else. And then all of a sudden, your mom or dad, they're dunking you in a barrel.
What I have to do now is I got a hose, and we have an outlet near the garage. So I put a hose on it there, but on the outlet, and I have to wash my car down. There's so much pollen on it, on the windshield. It's just thick. So I wash it down now in the morning.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm glad you had a good day. And how are you doing physically?
Not bad. The skin grafts and all that stuff. I guess they seem to be doing, you know, okay. And so I'm happy with that. But the ultimate reality check is going to be when my mother gets home in a couple of weeks and she wants to be right here when the thing gets changed. So then I'll be able to tell how it's really doing.
Okay. All right. And Sister Kathy, hello. Shalom.
Good evening.
And how are you doing in Georgia?
Well, we got a pollen situation here too, and it is just so sad.
Yeah, it was heavy this morning. Yeah.
Was the wind blowing there much?
Trying to think.
Because we sure had it.
Yeah, I don't think it was that windy here, but I know what happened. Nancy, the pollen doesn't seem to bother her as much as me. So she was outside and she came running into the house and she had come across a copperhead.
No.
Yeah.
In y'all's yard?
Yeah, right by the front steps.
Oh, my goodness. And you're sure it was?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So she asked me if I would dispatch it.
Yeah.
So we have a machete right by the entrance to the garage. So I got the machete and we had to look around for the, it wasn't a tiny one. And it wasn't a big, big one, but we found it and I put the machete and off of its head.
Good.
So that got me out this morning, and that was part of that pollen.
So hopefully his brothers and sisters didn't travel with him. He just came on his own.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. So, yeah, but I've killed a couple copperheads here.
Man, just...
We had one, I guess it was last year. I have two machetes. One I keep for like the backyard and one I keep for the front yard. The one in the front is in the garage. and the one in the back is like hanging on the on a wall. So she found it, and I said, Nancy, I don't know if that's a copperhead or not. It's got coloring like it, but I don't know. So she went online. I'm standing there with the machete over the snake's head. So she goes online, and she's looking at it, and she's looking at it, and we're describing it and going over. And she says, I don't think it's the copperhead. I don't think you look at it. So I got the phone, and I'm looking at the snake, and the snake wasn't moving, and I'm looking at the phone. I said, that's definitely not a copperhead. So I said, okay, snake.
You get to live.
Yeah.
By the hair of his chinny chin.
But I don't think I would have taken a chance if I couldn't absolutely say it wasn't a, you know,
no. Err on the side of caution.
Yeah. All right, Sister Kathy. And so you second last night. Was a good night in prayer?
Yes, it was. Very, very good.
Okay. Good. And I had a good time with Pastor Ernie. He seemed to really like it. At the end, he normally doesn't say anything. I mean, we just end the show. But he complimented me. He liked my salvation call.
Wow.
And yeah, he commented. I said, well, thank you, Pastor Ernie. Thank you.
Well, have you heard from Pastor Dove lately? What's his thyroid situation?
Well, he's going to Israel soon, and he scheduled me to preach one Sunday for him. And when he comes back, he's going to have the operation.
Well, bless his heart.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I knew nothing about it. It's parathyroid thing. But unfortunately, he's learning about it, and it can be serious, 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 including fatal.
Wow, that is serious.
It has to do something with calcium. It depletes calcium in your body, and then from that, something else happens, and from that, it hardening of the arteries, and then it affects the heart. So, yeah, it can be serious.
And one other thing, I know you know that Trump gave permission for them to just wipe out Yemen because of the Houthis, right?
Yes.
Have they started that, or are they giving them another little while?
From what I understand, he did attack.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they were threatening that they were going to do this and do that to the shipping. And and all, so he basically said, we had enough of you with this.
Right, and they did do. It wasn't just threatening. They enacted
a
bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're like, if we go back in our history, in the American history, we go back to, 1805 and around there. And in fact, we've got the Marine hymn. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. So, Tripoli is the capital of Libya. And in the early 1800s there, the American Navy was fighting the pirates, the Muslim pirates. So we're at it again.
Here we go. Should have wiped them out then.
Yeah, I mean, we were fighting. We fought Osama bin Laden, and he attacked the World Trade Center, and all that was like every 100 years we fight them. You know, in fact, it's strange because we talk about when we go into history, and we had the Spanish in the late 1890s. We fought the Spanish there in Cuba.
Yeah.
But not only was the Spanish in control of Cuba, but they were also in control of the Philippines. So we had a big naval battle with them in Manila Bay there. But we were also involved in fighting, today we would call them guerrillas, and they were Muslims. So around 1900, we were fighting the Muslims. 1800, we were fighting the Muslims. In 2000, we were fighting the Muslims and kind of continued on. Yeah, and just a little dip into history here. Pershing was the general who was put in charge to fight the Muslims. So what he did was their leaders, they were killed, and he cut their heads off and bury them with pigs. They'd be wrapped in pig intestines. And that was one of the things that stopped it, because the Muslims, you can't go to heaven if you're unclean like that.
My goodness.
So they would put tourniquets around their arms and legs, and then they would take some, like, I don't know, cocaine plant or something they chew on. And they were, you have to hit them in the heart or in the head to kill them. And that's how we invented the 45 ACP. It was a direct result of, you know, the handgun. And in fact, that gun's still used even today. But that gun was specially designed to, you didn't have to have a direct hit to finish off the insurgents, Muslim insurgents.
Man.
So there's a little history. So we're at it again, Sister Kathy. Every 100 years, yeah, we're at war. And you got the Muslim, the Marine hymn. The Halls of Montezuma has to do about Mexico to the shores of Tripoli, the Muslim pirates. And our first Navy, we had 5 frigates, they were called, and they were top class in the world. They were built to fight the Barbary pirates, Muslim, they're called Barbary pirates. Our first Navy was built to fight the pirates.
My goodness. Nothing's new under the sun,
right? That's amazing, right? And I'm going to add a little bit of Georgia. How did I get into this?
Okay, tell us about it.
How did I get into this? I can't stop. It's like, it's Sister Sharon's fault. Sister Sharon?
It is.
You tell me to stop all this.
Oh, no, I accept all blame. Okay, let's do it that way. I accept all blame.
All right. We had these trees that only grow in America, that because the wooden ships obviously were built of wood. And on the sides of the frigates, they had what's called live oak. And it came from the swamps of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't grow any other place in the world. So on the sides of our warships, the cannonballs, the British cannonballs, would hit them, and the wood would give and spring back, and it wouldn't penetrate the Constitution was the main ship. So the British called it Ironsides. And that was because of the white oak, living oak, from Georgia.
Yep. Saw down a many of them here for ships.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our history. In fact, we can attribute the American Constitution to the Barbary pirates, because when we became independent, it was called the Articles of Confederation, and it was too weak for the states to come together and to raise taxes and to have a central government and central army. And we couldn't deal with the Barbary pirates, and they were robbing our shipping and enslaving the sailors and all. So I'm serious when I tell you this. We can attribute the United States Constitution to Gaddafi's great, 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 great grandfather there, the Barbary pirates, because we were forced to put together a central government that could have a president leading and raise funds for the military.
And you said that was Liberia or Libya?
Libya.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Liberia is more
West
south.
West Africa.
West mm-hmm. and south. And that's those are black people. And Libya is the Muslims, the Arab Muslim.
Very interesting. And history definitely is giving them a big, good president to have to deal with in their folly.
Well, I would say this is a sign now, President Trump moving against the Houthis, they're directly connected to Iran.
Yeah.
They could do nothing without Iran.
That's what he said. He said, you stop funding them and we'll leave you alone.
Right, right. So to me, this is a sign that the next step is Iran.
Yeah, so this is kind of like trying to cut the head off and not have to get the whole body involved in it.
So Israel does not have a choice. They're going to have to move against Iran real soon. Real soon. Mm-hmm. All right, so we covered all that history now. I don't know how.
Yep.
It's all I know is it's Sister Sharon's fault.
And she doesn't deny it, so she's a big girl.
Yeah, I'll take all blame. I love
her. And she's a year older today, so she can handle it.
Yeah.
Today's your birthday?
Yep.
Wow. That's so sad, Sister Sharon.
Why?
Well, because if you waited 2 days, you'd be born on St. Patty's Day.
Oh, I know. I know. I had several friends that were born like in these days, and that's what we all used to say is that we miss St. Patrick's Day.
Now, you know, it has to be St. Patty's Day, not Patrick.
Yeah.
The New York Irish, it was always St. Patty. Now, I'm going to show you something. This is mind-boggling, what I'm going to show you. I showed it to Nancy earlier today, and she was laughing. I sent it to all the kids. Now, back in Pennsylvania, when I was involved in pro-life, someone I worked with, his name was Ed Snell. And Snell. Ed was German. But for St. Paddy's Day, I made him an honorary Irishman. So I called him Ed. He had his choice between Mick Snell or O. Snell. So he chose Mick Snell. So I just got this from him today. Now, let me see if I can get it over so you could see it. I don't think so. It'll come up here. I just don't know how to. Okay, I guess that's better. So here is Ed McSnell. Can everybody see it? Can you see it?
I can see it, yeah. His outfit, that's neat.
Yeah, now Ed's about 82, 83. So he did that for me. So
it finally made it to Georgia.
So here now, he says, thanks for the kind words, J. Patty. Because on St. Patty's Day, my middle name's Patrick. So I refer to myself as J. Patty McTurnan. So I responded to him and I said, for St. Patty's Day, March 17th, Ed McSnell, the fighting leprechaun. Ed's a little guy.
That's funny.
I said, I love
that's
it.
Cool.
This is the best ever. J. Patty. Yeah, so Ed's a little guy. A leprechaun fits him really good.
I just think it's neat that you kind of hang and follow with traditions and stuff like this. And a lot of people wouldn't even worry about it. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Ed McSnell. Funny. All right. And we'll work our way over to Gigi and Randy.
Yes, we are here. Good evening. Blessings to everyone. Glad to hear about the meetings went well.
Yes.
When you had them.
Now, here's good. Listen to this, TG. When I first spoke in Islamabad, we had 400 come to the Lord. Then I spoke at another city whose name I don't remember, but they had the terrorist activity going on. We had 300, you know, roughly 300. And then yesterday was 200. So we've got this descending order. So I just thought that was a little unique, 400, 300, 200. And each time the people said that the Lord had healed them or they had tremendous healing of the broken heart, remained the same. Remained the same. So how's Randy?
I'm fine, thank
He's
you.
He's here. We're waiting on dinner.
Yes.
Okay. Pasta?
No, not tonight, actually. I'm doing Mexican, which is unusual.
Oh, okay. All right. And then we have, yes, Brother Randy.
I one piece of trivia I thought you'd find interesting is we always see everything in Kelly green for St. Patrick's Day. The official color for St. Patrick's Day in the past was a light blue. And it was a light blue rather than a dark blue because dark blue was King Henry VIII's official color. So anyway, it was light blue. And the significance of Kelly green in the past was to commemorate the revolution and the independence of Ireland. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
You're talking about the uprising in 1916?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I've got good news for you, Randy and Gigi.
Yeah?
In Uber Conference here, you have a beautiful green.
Oh, good.
And then in the middle of the green, you've got this like a tannish circle, and then in the circle, you've got letters, black letters. But the green looks very nice.
Oh, we have to tell you something exciting.
Okay.
Because, you know, where we came from, there were a lot of Irish. And
where was that?
In Virginia.
Okay.
D.C., Maryland area, a lot of Irish musicians. So we were looking around, and there's a place that we go and eat sometimes, and they have a piper tomorrow. So we're going to see the piper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're going to do St. Patrick's. They're originally from Wisconsin. But they have a piper coming in, so we are definitely going over there.
Yeah, I suppose the piper's busy, so he was probably already scheduled for the 17th. So we're going to the Sunday the 16th to hear the piper.
Yeah, which is nice.
All right. Now make sure you pay the piper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, that's it. You don't hear that expression anymore. You got to pay the piper.
Right.
All right. So now think of me there when you're at this event on tomorrow. Hello, Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John. Hello to everyone.
Okay. Just wanted to say hello to you.
Okay. And, thank you.
All right. When I first met Nancy, we were talking about our backgrounds, you know, because my name, McTernan, and that. So she tells me that, yeah, in my family, there's no Irish. I know that. We're German and French on my mother's side. My father, I don't know. Anyways, the background. So the first time she takes me home, her mother takes out this scrapbook talking about all these, on her father's side, the scrapbook and all these, father's background is very interesting. I mean, unusually interesting. So she cuts in the book, she goes, and here we have a Civil War hero, Grandpa McNeil. So So I told Nancy, I said, "See, I told you, if your family's long enough in America, they're part Irish." She said, "I didn't know that. I didn't know that." I said, "Yeah, you got Grandpa McNeil. Not only that, he's a Civil War hero." So, all right. What I'm doing tonight is I'm going back to I looked and looked and looked and couldn't come up with another video that I thought would be edifying. So I want to go back to the teaching. That it's been a long, long time since we had the teaching there and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, as I was looking at it, I'm going to have to kind of reorganize it, because I was adding things and adding things here and adding things there. And it's not in an order that I would really like it. But anyways, we're going to look at the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I should really, because I know everyone here has heard powerless disciple Peter and powerful apostle Peter, but I've added to it. And Jamil really likes what I've added to it. So I'll have to teach that one time also. But tonight I would like to do some introduction and, if possible, get over to the Second Great Awakening. Now, what I did was a long time ago, looking over there. Oh, you can't see it. Let me go over. I've got some books. Hang on, please. I want to show you. Yeah, I have books that I've been collecting here, and I'd really like to go through them. Well, that's not one. Yeah, Reformation to Revival, 500 Years of God's Glory. I'd like to go through it and pick out some good information that I'm not aware of to add to his teaching. Pentecost to the Present. There's another one. Oh, I think there's part one, part two.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, here's part two. Here's part two. Oh, there's part three. I bought the series. Book one, book two, book three. Yeah. Here's the series. That's part one. This is part two. And this is part three. And then I was going through my books, and I had Peter Marshall. He has that two-part, maybe three-part series. Sounding Forth the Trumpet, God's Plan for America, 1837 to 1860. So he covers the revival of 1857 in it, but, you know, Finney and things like that. So I'd like to go through these books to maybe get some more insight in it and interesting information. So that's some of my plans to upgrade this teaching on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because I know God's going to do it. But we're at time, we're really getting compressed time-wise with this. The pressure there is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Within America, and now we're looking at Europe, and we're looking at the Middle East. I mean, these are big, big pressure cookers. And I don't know how much more left here. The communists, the woke, the homosexuals, the transgenders, including the Muslims that are actively, like especially college campuses. There's no let up on the pressure of them. President Trump is doing everything right. It's incredible what he's doing. He's doing it right. And it's like a big vice. The pressure's closing on them. So I would not be surprised if they exploded in violence, because they have no other option. They're losing. God's got them in this vice. I mean, Trump's even winning in the courts, in these federal courts. So everything is the pressure is getting tighter and tighter and tighter on them. And I think they're going to crack. So that's something. Now we've got to be in prayer like we were before the election. All right. So let's take a look at this, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures here, I want to take some time about. I'm going to go nice and slow with this here, and we'll just go as far as we do, and then we want to end, we'll have a good session in prayer about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, okay, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in American history. Now, there are three psalms. Hang on here for a second, please. There are three psalms that really hit the nail on the head in what I'm doing with this ministry here. Now, originally, when we're looking at the psalms, well, let me read the first psalm. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. All right, there's one, Psalm 77:11. Psalm 105:5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And then Psalm 143:5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. Now the word muse there is, it's a form of meditation. But it's a deeper meditation. It's like you're lost in, you don't know the time, you don't know the place. You've gotten so deep into the word that you've just lost time. That's musing. Meditating is a lighter, you're thinking about it, but you're not like lost in it, if that's the right word to use. So muse is an advanced, deeper meditation. So all these psalms, there's three of them now, and there's the three witnesses. They tell us to remember the works of the Lord, the wonders of old. Now, of course, in context, that's talking about like what the Lord did during the Exodus. And the works of the books of the law and all the things that are recorded in it. And of course, things happened afterwards also. But I don't think that we have to go all the ways back to, we'll say, the Exodus. What about the things the Lord has done since then? And that's the connection that I made to the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Why don't we focus, like, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember the wonders of old. Well, the wonders of old, the great revivals he sent, the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit he sent, you know, the tremendous supernatural works of the Lord, like with Azusa Street revival. And then we have, going back into our times, into the late 1960s there, we've got the Jesus Revolution that did a marvelous work in America, marvelous work. So that's what inspired me to like those scriptures, those three scriptures inspired me to why not think about what happened in the Great Awakening. And the second great awakening and the third great awakening. Because if God did the first, second, third great awakening, then Azusa Street, and then there was moves of the Lord. Well, like Finney, for example. The second great awakening was 1800. But then Finney was like, the late 1820s. In the early 1830s, and he shook whole areas of the country, especially New York, upstate New York, and Ohio and Massachusetts. He was a one-man revivalist that won Well, he had a lot of prayer behind him. But as far as speaking, it was just him. So we've had great moves in between the big moves, but the big moves shook the whole country. The first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening, then the third Great Awakening was Jeremiah Lampier, and it's called the Revival of 1857, the Fulton Street Revival, the third Great Awakening, and then the next one after that would have been Azusa Street, and then the Jesus Revolution. But like I said, in between, like we'll say between Azusa Street and the Jesus Revolution, we had tremendous moves of the Lord, like with Oral Roberts. And as we learned in those videos we watched, a man, A.A. Allen, and others, there was and the huge moves, great evangelists winning all sorts of souls to the Lord, like Billy Graham. So in between, it wasn't that nothing was happening in between these revivals. Great things were happening, but the Great Awakenings literally shook the course of the country. And that is huge, folks. It wasn't localized. It was the entire country that was shaken by these Great Awakenings, as they were called. So that's why I think if we want to study what happened with mighty miracles God did in Exodus, all that's fine. That is works and what he did. That's wonderful. But we can upgrade it to our time, and God wants us to do it. So remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth, the words that he spoke of from his mouth. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. As I'm listening to this, or as I'm reading it and it's going through my mind, I'm thinking, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands, I remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. What jumps into my mind as I'm reading that is with the Second Great Awakening at the Red River there with Pastor James McCready, and when the Holy Spirit fell and the revival was started, that actually it started there, but it got bigger and they had to move. They moved further north into Kentucky. But the power of God was so great that he cordoned off a certain area. It's like with pets, you have an electric fence and the dog, you can't see the fence, but the dog knows with the collar it has on, don't go any further, you'll get zapped. But that's what happened there. The people of God could walk through that electric fence, no problem whatsoever. But the unbelievers, if they were on one side of the road and they crossed over to the other where God had cordoned off the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they fell to the ground in agony, that they were being taken into hell. Those are eyewitness accounts. There was an invisible fence. The Holy Spirit had actually cordoned off, I don't know how many acres, several acres. And the curious would come to see what happened, and they crossed that invisible fence, and bam, they were on the ground, pleading, crying out to God. They talked about moonshiners, crossing over, anyone that didn't have the Holy Spirit in them was knocked to the ground under this tremendous conviction. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he shall convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So they would be convicted of all three, and judgment So the believers would run, they'd see this and they'd run over and they'd pray for the people and lead him to Christ, and then they would be okay. So what an incredible, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, God had cordoned off a certain area on earth that you can't see the Holy Spirit, but his presence was like physically there, if that's the right word. Because if the unbelievers went to where it was cordoned off, they were on the ground, felt like they were being brought into hell. So there was some real, real presence of the Holy Spirit there, that, you know, in a real tangible way. That's incredible. And that's the things that I want my mind full of. You know, thinking back what he did in the first great awakening, second great awakening, third great awakening, Azusa Street, and all. We want that in us, because who knows? It may be used. You know, it may be used. God may do again what he did in 1800. I don't know if it was done in other revivals. Great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. I know about Finney, that those when the Holy Spirit fell on the area that Finney was preaching in, that people that didn't know the Lord felt a dread. They felt a dread, but it wasn't that same like being knocked to the ground and literally feel like they were being brought into hell. They did sense that whole area, like Rochester, New York, is probably the most famous. That whole city ended up coming to the Lord during the Great Revival. I think it was 1828, 1829. But yeah, that did happen in 1800, in the Great Revival of 1800. God cordoned off an area. And if you weren't with him, it's like you were pressed up against God's holiness through the Holy Spirit in a real way. Incredible. So those are the things that we can think on in modern times, just updated from 1500 BC to starting in 1740, actually 1716, like 90, with Solomon Stoddard. He was the revivals were small, but he was the first really revivalist here in America along the Connecticut River. All right, now we look at the book of Judges, and it says, now all these things happened, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Excuse me, before we go to the book of Judges, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 10. Now all these things happened unto them for example. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the history of God dealing with the children of Israel matches how God deals with the American church. So this has to do about the book of Judges now. The setting is after Joshua died. The physical warfare that mirrors spiritual. The Lord raised up judges. Today he raises up revivalists. The church is not steady, but rather in cycles. We have to picture that in our mind. You know, we think of years. Well, you know, 1500, 1600, 1700, 1800s. But within those years, there's cycles. And the church, especially the American church, fits these cycles. So I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 10:11 because I don't think I started off right here. Now these things happen. Now these things are talking about what happened during the Exodus. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world come. Well, the Exodus follows right into with Joshua into the book of Judges. So I don't think here, when we look at 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Well, what about the things in the book of Judges? I absolutely believe it, that it's the same as what happened in the time of Moses. They're written for their examples and written for our admonition. So we can look into Judges, and we could see what was going on in the book of Judges, and that applies to us today. So let's go over and take a look at the book of Judges and start at chapter 2, verse 11. And now remember, Joshua has passed away now. So a generation has grown up that didn't know Joshua and all the great things that Joshua reported the Lord did during the Exodus. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, followed other gods, and provoked the Lord to anger. Chapter 2, verse 13. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. So here, they were following the Lord under Joshua. Joshua died, and a new generation came up, and that same problem with sin arose. And notice they Baal and Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth is the female pagan goddess, and following her meant a lot of, it's always sexual stuff, always. So that's what they went into. And then verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoil them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. That was, they became powerless, folks. Powerless. They spiritually powerless and also physically powerless to defend themselves. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled. Now, spoiled there means to take from, you know, like the spoils of war. But what's really interesting here, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. They were weak, physically weak. Now, I'm looking at what's happened here in America, and under Biden, and even with Trump, his first term, but especially Biden, the country is very weak, folks. The American people were not able to, like, get it together. And to, of course, there were certain voices standing, but everything Biden was doing, there was such little resistance. No, it was no physical way to resist it. That's what I'm driving at. So with the border, the governor of Texas, he tried. He had the National Guard there, and he had the state police there. But the border is in Texas is huge, and we just didn't have enough to stretch it out along the border. We needed the federal government and the army, which is there now in big numbers, along with the Texas National Guard and the state police. But President becomes Trump, Trump becomes president, and all of a sudden, the country's like energized. I could sense it. I could clearly see it and sense it. There is a resolve in the people that wasn't there before. It's there now. It's a people that are ready to go. I believe if President Trump said that there is a move to destroy the government, to overthrow the government, and that we're going to need the help of the citizens, that would be there, folks. That would be there. We would rise to the occasion. Under Biden, you know, if governors did it, it wouldn't be the same, folks. It wouldn't be the same. But it's changed. The atmosphere in America has changed. It's spiritual. And so look at verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoil them, and sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Now, the Lord has delivered us now. And I believe we can stand against the enemies. In fact, the enemies are Lord has them in derision. They don't know what to do. No matter what way they turn, God's enemies here in America, no matter what way they turn, they're cornered, they're boxed in, they're confused, they don't have any strength. So what the devil was trying to do to us here, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies, it's reversed now. The Lord is on our side. He's moved mightily. And they can't stand. They're in derision. So let's look at the next cycle. Judges 3:6. And they took their daughters to be their wives. Now that's the pagans. And gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. So they're back at it again now with the pagans. 3:7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam in the groves. Now, that expression "in the groves" has a lot of meaning, and that's where they had pagan rituals. And those pagan rituals involved, I'm going to say lysisogus. Oh, it involved sexual things. And so that was, when you see that expression "in the groves," do you remember, this is kind of, it's not really remembered too much, but when Elijah, the prophet, took on the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, there were 450 prophets of Baal. But there's another part that says, and 400 prophets of the grove. So it was like 850 of these pagan prophets that the Lord empowered Elijah to deal with them and actually kill them. But those prophets of the grove there also, the false prophets of Baal and the false prophets of the grove. Now, verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them. So things got so ugly, so bad, and that's what happened here, folks. So ugly, so bad under Biden and that regime of his, that the remnant cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard our cry. And what does it say here? Who delivered them? Judges 3:12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer. So here's the cycle. You know, we clearly see the cycle here now. The children of Israel, they love sin, and they're getting involved in sin, and with the sin comes terrible bondage. They get into this bondage. They cry out to the Lord. The Lord sends a deliverer, and everything is good for 20 years, 30 years maybe, and then next thing you know, they're back with Balaam and the prophets of the grove and Ashtaroth, and they're in bondage again. And the children, Judges 4:1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Well, that's a long time to be oppressed like that, 20 years, but the Lord did hear their cry. So there was cycles there with the judges. There was cycles. And the children of Israel would be with the Lord. Everything would be fine. They would turn to sin. The Lord would warn them and they would go deeper into sin. He would send judgment against them. And, the Lord, they would cry out. But look, sometimes Israel was in bondage for like, we saw that one there for 20 years, 20 years. But that was the cycle. They were with the Lord. They went deep into sin. The Lord sent judgment. They cried out to the Lord and he delivered them. Then they were fine for X amount of years. Then they went into sin, deep into sin. The Lord sent judgment. They were in bondage for 20 years and they cried out to the Lord and he delivered them. So definite cycle. No doubt about it. You see it in the book of Judges. And but the Lord did deliver them, and he sent what was called judges back then. So let's take a look here at the first Great Awakening in America. And we had a time period of 1670 through 1720, which is not really... kind of the 1740s, we know in American history, when the Great Awakening started. But there was a time period there in the late 1600s and early 1700s where there were outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Now, by today's standards, they weren't great. They weren't huge because the population was so small in. But the pastor that led it was Solomon Stoddard, and he was the grandfather of Jonathan, the great revivalist, Jonathan Edwards. So Stoddard noticed great out. He was a pastor for like 60 years, I think. He was a pastor for 60 years. And during those 60 years, he noticed patterns with the Lord. And he wrote about them. And he talked about times when there was no fruit for the Lord. It was barren and the people seemed asleep. And then the cycle came and they were incredibly on fire for the Lord. So he knew that he saw these cycles. And when he got older and he couldn't pastor anymore, his grandson took over the church. His grandson was Jonathan Edwards, who preached probably one of the most famous sermons of all times, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And that one sermon is what is really like the fire that ignited the first Great Awakening in America. Was July of 1741. It's no coincidence that God used Jonathan Edwards to ignite the first Great Awakening in America. And his grandfather was Solomon Stoddard, who God really gave tremendous insights into the cycles and into the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and all. Solomon Stoddard really understood how God worked, like in the book of Judges. He understood that. So that understanding that he had was downloaded into his grandson, Jonathan Edwards, who the Lord then used Jonathan Edwards to ignite the Great Awakening, which officially started in 1741. All right, now this is Solomon Stoddard. He pastored the First Church of Northampton for 60 years. Now, by the way, folks, that's Northampton, Massachusetts. It was along the Connecticut River, which flows into Massachusetts. The spiritual condition in 1683, the Reverend Samuel Torrey of Weymouth lamented, "There hath been a virtual decay, a decay upon the very vitals of religion, by a deep declension in the life and power of it, that there is already a great death upon religion, little more left than a name to live, that the things which remain are ready to, and that we are in great danger of dying together with it." So that's those cycles, folks, that we saw in the book of Judges. You know, there are great things going on, and then all of a sudden they're following the pagan gods. They're going deep into sin. And that's what they saw during this period of time. This one pastor is writing about this declension that was taking place in the late, the 1680s. Now, we know from history that God sent a revival in 1692, I think it was. And it took them out of that that decay and that sliding into spiritual death. And he revived his church and brought them back out of it. So we're looking back in the 1600s, folks, the 1680s, that they were writing then about the powerless church and it was dying. But years later, not too many years later, God sent a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's like in the book of Judges, he sent, as it's called, a judge to be like a revivalist for Israel. Now, this is from Solomon Stoddard. He's referring to the believers now, like trees in the winter. "Learn from hence that the church of God is subject to great changes. Sometimes religion flourishes and sometimes it languishes. It is indeed so with particular souls. Sometimes they go on from strength to strength, and the hearts are lifted up in the ways of God. And at other times they are slumbering in a slumbering condition. They are like sick men that are unfit for service, like trees in winter. So it is with the church of God. There is but little of the presence of God among them. There is a great scarcity of godly men. Iniquity abounds, and the love of many wax cold. At other times, religion is the great thing that is minded." Yeah, and we see that, folks. We see that here. Just like he was describing there, nothing has changed, folks. Nothing's new under the sun. Individual churches can run in cycles.
Yeah.
And then we can get, church as a whole running in, real good. We want real good, real good cycle with a outpouring of the Holy Spirit and people moving under the influence and under the power of the Holy Spirit. Stoddard was known as a powerful preacher and followed his own advice completely. In response to his strong preaching and pastoral methods, five awakenings or harvests, as he called them, came upon the church and the area of Northampton in 1679, 1683, 1696, 1712, and 1718. More souls were turned to Christ than in any other time in New England before the Great Awakening. So there were these little great awakenings. And apparently, Pastor Solomon Stoddard was at the core of these mini awakenings, which his grandson then became at the core of the Great Awakening. Pastor Solomon Stoddard completed an amazing pastoral of 60 years. Due to his failing health, the church in 1727 called for an assistant to aid him. They selected Stoddard's grandson, Jonathan Edwards. This was a monumentous decision. Edwards became the leading colonial advocate of awakenings and America's greatest theologian. All right, the First Great Awakening. I'm actually wrong with this, and I found out that the way I'm wrong with it is through those videos we watched. I don't know if it was Revival Radio TV or not, but I thought that the Great Awakening, the First Great Awakening, was over by late 1740s, maybe early 1750s. But what I found out was that it moved. It, like in New England, there was a great move in the 1740s that ignited it. But then it died out in New England, not completely, but it died out. But it was really big, like in North Carolina and South Carolina later. So right up to the American Revolution in the 1770s there, the revival fires of the First Great Awakening was still burning. Not as huge as it was in the 1740s and 50s, but there were revival fires burning at there at the start of the revolution, which really surprised me, because I thought that the big revival fires had been over. So the Lord brought the power of the Great Awakening even directly, in part, even directly into the American Revolution, which was really amazing to me to see that. And I'd love to see that again, because I'd like to take notes on the time period. Right now, I'm just going out of memory. But I know that there was, well into the 1750s and 60s, the First Great Awakening was still burning, and it was in the South. It hit the North first, and then it was burning in the South. Now, the official start is July 8, 1781, and it was preached in by Pastor Jonathan Edwards. The title is Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And this here reached into the American Revolution, the exhortation, the power just didn't end. It was carried forward into the American Revolution. Now, I'd like to, what I want to do is share the scripture with you, because the actual scripture, I'm trying to get my electric Bible going and it is, does not want to go. Oh well. We'll have to let that go. It's Amos 9 verses 2 and 3. That was the scripture that the preaching was based upon that did such a marvelous work. Now, I also want to talk about George Whitefield, because George Whitefield at this time, he was an English preacher, and he came to America, and he was having a huge impact. I mean, sometimes there were huge amounts of people, like in Philadelphia. Benjamin Franklin was very close to Whitefield. And Whitefield was unaided. In other words, he was preaching with no amplification, but his voice would carry so far that Franklin once figured out that 20,000 people could hear him. He marched it off. So Whitefield was doing a tremendous job. So he was lighting fires wherever he preached. Now, he went up and down the coast of America. He was all the way down into Georgia, He was north up into Massachusetts, and I don't know if he went any further in Massachusetts and all. Connecticut, New York, Pennsylvania. So he was starting these little forest fires. And then when Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon, that's what ignited everything. So Whitfield has to be recognized because he was setting the stage for Jonathan Edwards' sermon there that ignited what became known as the Great Awakening. Now, there's the University of Pennsylvania, which was founded by George Whitfield. There's Benjamin Franklin. Franklin printed a lot of Whitfield's preaching, and they were very close, and they were thinking of going into business. I don't know if you'd call it a business, but there was places in Western Pennsylvania that they wanted to create like a Christian colony there. Whitfield and Franklin had conspired together, but it never really came to pass. But that was in their thinking. Here's a very interesting two proverbs. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. That's Proverbs 1:23 and 1:33. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. So God says that if he reproves us that we're doing something offensive to him or something contrary to his word, and we turn, we repent, he's ready right there to pour out his spirit upon us. And I will make known my words unto you. What's interesting there is the outpouring of the spirit and the word go together. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the word go together. Okay, I think we'll end it there. And I haven't taught this in quite a while, so let's see how everybody's doing with me here. And we have go with Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon.
Yes, Chaplain John. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. I thought okay. I was going like kind of nice and slow and even so that everybody could absorb what I was saying. Hopefully I did.
Yes. Yes. There's just so much to know and to learn during this early time period that, you know, you don't even think of a lot of the stuff that went on. And I know there's a whole lot more background history that you haven't even touched on. And it's just a marvelous study. It really is, Chaplain John. And I appreciate you going slow and so that we can absorb everything that you want us to absorb. And it seems like it came down to just a few people doing and starting all these revivals.
Well, you know, just, yeah. Now, here's the thing, Sister Kathy, Sister Sharon. And you'll see this as we go on. God always seems to select, like, one person, one church. But that doesn't mean that, like I shared with you about George Whitfield.
Right.
Man, he was setting little fires here and there and everywhere, you know. So if you right. look at history kind of on a shallow level, you'll hear they call it, the secular authors call it revivals of religion, and they focus on Jonathan Edwards and that's it. But there there was other things going on, Sister Sharon. You know, there were, like I said, Whitfield, and there were lesser known people. So there was a lot of people, a lot of arsonists out there, a lot of spiritual arsonists starting fires. And then the big one hit with Jonathan Edwards that just sent the forest fire.
It definitely probably needed to happen right there when it did happen. And it's just, you know, it's like even you study the different people here in the United States that started the revivals, and you study, and some of them were even back in England and stuff, and came here. I mean, it was just, just a lot.
Well, Whitfield. Stuff. George Whitfield is from England, yes, and he brought it here. Yes,
right.
Yes, absolutely. Right. And then later on, it went the other way. The revivals started in America, and they went to England.
Right. I just think it's just totally so interesting.
And the big thing is, you know, let's not go. We don't have to go all the ways back to the Exodus.
Right.
God just says, think on the things that I have done, the mighty works that I've done. Well, wow. Let's look at the mighty works of the great revivals here in America.
Amen. Amen.
And we want
I agree with you on that.
Right. If he sent great revivals in the past, why can't he send one today again?
That's right. I agree with that too. You know, it's that we're sitting right on the edge of being very, very overdue. For a good revival.
I like that. I like that. Overdue. I like that. All right. Now we have Sister Kathy there. Now, hang on, Sister Kathy. If anyone would like to call in with a question, a comment, maybe you'd like to join us in prayer, 717-409-5553. Okay, Sister Kathy.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Selena Hastings, Countess of Huntingdon, who bankrolled Whitfield's Bethesda Home for Boys and so much of the Methodist movement. And she just pretty much spent her entire fortune for the cause of Christ. And I just want to shout her name.
First of all, it was well spent.
It was, and she's getting rewards even now.
Right, right. Now, tell me her name.
Selena Hastings.
Yeah.
Countess of Huntingdon.
Now, Huntingdon, England, or?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we didn't have countesses here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, she never came to America.
Oh,
and that was what was so precious, is that she spent so much money in America for George Whitfield. She just adored him.
Okay. All right. So, Lord, we thank you for this Countess Huntingdon, Lord, who really helped George Whitfield in his, I guess this would be with the orphans. So
right.
We thank you, Lord, because that all was part of his ministry here in America. And these are things that are all kind of lost to history, but they're not lost to you, Lord. And we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So how far was Whitfield there with that ministry in Georgia from where you are?
50 miles.
Well, that's not that far.
Oh, no, I've been there a dozen times, and I've videotaped all inside of the homes that, you know, they had for the business. It's just awesome. Her picture's there hugely on the wall, and it's just amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Do they have any pictures of Whitfield there?
Yes, they do. They have a lot of his preaching on audio, somebody reading his sermons, and boy, are they powerful.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a museum. They have the museum for for his and just everything that happened there all those years.
Okay. Do you remember offhand when he started the ministry there?
Yeah, it was 17, I think it was like 1740, maybe 1745, something like that. Because Oglethorpe came in 33, and Wesley came, and Wesley is who asked him to come and do that. And it is still in activity, but it's not as an orphan home. It is a school for boys. So it's not continuous now. But it was the longest lasting orphanage in America. Longest running.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, did Whitfield die in the 1750s or the 1770s?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I know he died at 57, where Wesley died at like 87.
Yeah, that's so what it see. Have,
yeah,
that's
it,
where the 5 and the 7 comes into my mind.
Right. Right. So he just burned out.
Yeah, George Whitfield. Yeah, what an anointing on that man.
Amen.
Okay, Sister Kathy, thank you. And then we have Gigi and Randy. Hello?
Yes.
John?
Yes, Brother Randy. Yes, Randy.
Benjamin Franklin was Wakefield's printer. He printed stuff, and Wakefield was really well known because there was so much more printing of his sermons, and even to the extent that pastors would read his sermons as their sermon. But I'm pretty sure that part of his association with Ben Franklin was that Franklin was his printer.
Yes, absolutely. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, his life was very, very interesting, actually. I find him fascinating. I think he's fantastic.
Well, there was a special anointing on his voice because he could speak to enormous distance away. You could hear him.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Benjamin Franklin once marked it out and said that he could preach like 200 yards. People could hear him. Some incredible distance.
Well, John?
Yes,
John,
sir.
You know, you had to hear his voice because he did a lot of preaching outdoors because early in his career, I think he was kicked out of the churches, and so he went outside to preach. I think that's true, but I'm not sure.
No, you're correct. You're correct. That's correct. That's correct. Yes. He, you know, then he got sort of thrown out of the Presbyterian church. So, yeah, but Whitfield was tremendous. And he's kind of a little bit lost in history, you know?
Right.
But he was a tremendous man of God. Tremendous.
That is very encouraging to Brandon. We've listened to some videos about him in the past, and it's very encouraging to listen to that. But I agree with you about, you know, when we are thinking and maybe meditating on what has happened in the past. We had an interesting thing happen the other day. We were someplace, and we know this young woman, and so we were just having our conversation, and we were just giving testimony, and it was really fun because she was giving testimony, and then we would give a testimony about the way that God had answered prayers. And by the time we got done, all three of us felt really, really encouraged. It was so much fun. So we had a pastor that used to say, you need to give a testimony.
Yes.
That's what you need to do.
Yes.
And absolutely. That's what encourages in a church. And he used to always do that in church. He would preach in church. And then he would always, always, always ask people, who has a testimony? Stand up. And it was interesting because in the beginning, people weren't that into it. But then once everyone started to be encouraged by what the Lord had done, everybody, you know, then everybody wanted to do it, which was really nice. So I appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah. Anyone's, if you have a testimony and you want to call in here, please, 717-409-5553. Those testimonies are very, very edifying, and they encourage someone, they exhort. So thank you. Thank you, Sister Rita and Brother Randy. And then we have Sister Rita here.
Yeah, it's Gigi and Randy, not Rita and Randy.
Is that what I said, Rita?
Yeah, you did. I have no questions, and I really enjoyed the lesson tonight, and I was blessed, Chaplain John.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Well, okay. Now I've got to get over to Paula Jean. She's jumped in here, and her name is Paula Jean, not Rita Jean, but Paula Jean. So, all right. Here we go.
You did good.
All right. Paula Jean.
I was really blessed that you thought out of the box. You started with the three Psalms, but then you didn't limit us in just focusing on what we read in the Bible so far as incidents of God and the Holy Spirit moving. You moved us to the great outpourings that we've experienced and heard about in our lifetime. And that's really what we've been studying on this particular night. And so by your doing that, it just really took me to, okay, I have to mark tonight as one to go back and listen to again and remember what you were saying, and applying it to all of those, moves of the Holy Spirit,
right,
that we have studied about, because each one has different qualities and elements of how God works.
Amen.
And I mean, it's just awesome. Just awesome. I mean, a whole bunch of blessings available now.
Yeah, I want to encourage everybody, to exhort everybody. Look, God sent these great outpourings in the past. We don't have to go back to 1500 BC and all of that. You know, he sent these great outpourings. In fact, you know, I was alive at the end of the latest great outpouring in America. And so here we are now. I'm older, but we need another great outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, I just read that in, they had another move of the Lord in West Virginia University there. And they had a meeting with 5,000, and 1,000 came forward to be baptized. Receive Christ and be baptized.
That's very big.
And those are little fires that are very encouraging, because those little fires can get together and end up with a raging forest fire. And that's what we want, a raging forest fire of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And it is indicative that move is taking place, because, again, we've heard of other little ones in the different colleges. And so he's ready. He's ready to send us the answer to our prayers.
All right. I want to lead in prayer, and then we'll get for others. Father, We thank you for your word, and to remember the days of old and the mighty things that you've done. So, Lord, we haven't forgotten those great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that shook the nation. Literally, the whole nation, Lord, was shook, not just localized in this, but big, the whole country. And, Lord, we're asking you now, based on your word and these cycles of the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, that you would send another one. We desperately need it, desperate. And we see these fires, Lord, at the college campuses now. They're happening on a regular basis, Lord. And it shows you the students are hungry, Lord. You prepared their hearts. So, Lord, we're asking for another. I'd love to see it in the colleges, Lord. Start in the colleges. Another great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Sweeping the nation from the Atlantic to Pacific, Lord. From the Canada down to Central South America and then beyond into Africa and Asia, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Exciting, Lord. Sweeping into the college campuses and the Muslims coming to you in great numbers, Lord. Just like the Jews did 50, 60 years ago. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, the woke, the homosexuals, the communists, Lord, all of them, Lord, the atheists, like a tsunami going through the college campuses, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Another great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we see wonderful things happening. We see hundreds come to you at a time now, Lord, in Africa and in Pakistan. So, Lord, we want to see that happening here. Huge numbers, Lord, are coming to you. A great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The people's hearts are primed, Lord. So many of the Americans are a deep loneliness. They are full of fear. They're full of depression, anxiety. Many, many have had suicidal thoughts. Lord, the remedy for all of this is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit with multitudes coming to you and then you moving to heal their broken hearts. Lord. That is the answer to America's problems. The great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:18, falling on the nation, Lord, including he sent me to heal the broken heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I praise you and thank you. Exciting times we live in. We need fire in the pulpits, Lord. Fire like on the college campuses, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Lord, and I'm asking for the fire of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, on the brochures, Lord, the healing the brokenhearted. Lord, we got there's a pastor in Pakistan that has like many churches under him, and he told Jamil that he wanted 50,000 of the brochures. That's in addition to the 100,000 from 2 weeks ago, Lord. Lord, there is a tremendous request, and they're doing your work, Lord. They are winning souls to you. People read them. And they're coming, they'll come to you, Lord. So, Lord, thank you for that. Now, so I'm asking for the ability to print those brochures, Lord, and get them distributed all across Pakistan, winning a harvest of souls for you. So we praise you and thank you now, Lord. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, Sister Kathy, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Yes. Oh, Father, we are so grateful that there are so many people who did so much for you during their life. They gave their life for you. They shed, in so many cases, their blood for you. But, Jesus, thank you that we have the privilege of calling out their names, of honoring them, their legacy is just forever. And Lord, you have noted and recorded and have already paid them back, Lord, for their labor. It was not in vain. And Lord, we can't even give a cup of water without being blessed. So thank you, God, that you take note and you have a book of remembrance that's written for every living, breathing person that is waiting on them when they get to eternity. So we thank you for the Whitfields and the Oglethorpes and the Wesleys, Lord, and the Stoddards and the Edwardses and just all the people that have gone before. And Lord, even the missionaries, especially the missionaries, Lord, thank you for life and the gift of life and the fact that we have been given life and we need to help other people get that. Thank you for Chaplain John's ministry, Abba Father International Fellowship. Thank you for all the work that his yeses have done. Thank you for all the people, the ripple effect that each one reached one. And Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Lord, we just bless everyone that's in on the program tonight. Everyone that just, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And Lord, we just, our life, Lord, is to be a living sacrifice. And Lord, that is what we're doing. We're just giving you us all the time. That's our job. That's our responsibility. And we need to do it. And we're blessed by doing it. And if we don't do it, something's not going to happen that would have if we'd have been obedient. So I thank you for every yes all of us give you. And Lord, thank you that you're just going to show us great and awesome things in your word. And Lord, I love, I think it's Daniel 10, 23 or 32, somewhere in there. But it says, those that do know their Lord will be mighty and do exploits. That's it. If we know you, we will do exploits. And that's the key. Reading the word, studying the word, thanking you for the word, praying the word, living the word, giving the word out. And Lord, we will be so fulfilling our life's mission. Thank you for everybody here tonight. Bless those who couldn't come. Thank you for tomorrow night, Lord, and Monday night with Pastor Fred. Bless Pastor Doe and all the other people that's part of this ministry. And thank you for Pakistan. And hopefully tomorrow we'll work out in Nigeria. And just bless the name of the Lord, oh my soul, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go with Sister Sharon.
Yes. Thank you. Dear Father God, I just want to thank you for helping me find Abba Father International Fellowship, have friends and people that want to pray and that love you dearly, dear Father God. It is just so important to me. And on the testimony, I was going to a church when I was also first listening to Chaplain John, and I realized right away that there was a lot of untruth in the church, as they would try to cover up things that didn't go in the way they should have gone, and they were wrong for that. I had to leave the church. I cried all the way home. I just so upset and everything. And then later in the day, that Sunday, I was able to hear Chaplain John talk and stuff. And then right there, I knew where my heart belonged, to where I could study more and learn more about you, dear Father God. And I just thank you. Thank you for that transition that I was able to make and stuff. And I love studying, and I love taking notes, which I need to get back into taking notes. And I love the Bible. I love holding the Bible in my hands and reading it and stuff. And I just thank you for that, dear Father God. And I just know that I just feel that a new revival is right on our doorsteps. It is something that just, I can just feel it. Something is going to happen very soon that's going to increase the people who want to learn about you, dear Father God. And I have to be, I don't want to use the word brave, but we have to be just ready to be there to, in the Word, to help others find out about you, dear Father God, because that is our mission, why we're here, why we're alive on earth, is to help others learn about you and stuff. And I just am so thankful for everybody that's here in the group and what they know, and just a little tidbits of knowledge that they have. And it's just so enlightening and stuff just to be able to listen to that. And dear Father God, I am just so, so grateful just to have this group that I can and be in. And I know they pray for me, and I can pray for them. And it just really, it's a good thing when we can pray for each other. And it's so important that we do. And like right now, I want to pray for everybody who's in the pathway of all of these storms that are developing across the country. And a lot of people have already lost their lives and property. And I just want to pray for their safety. And that's what's really important. And I just pray that they already know about you, because like they say, you go to bed one night and you're not going to wake up on earth, here on earth, with another chance and stuff. And so we need to make sure that our friends, our family, and everybody have heard about you, and that they have an opportunity to make a decision about you, because that's what's so important. And I just, again, want to thank Chaplain John and wife Nancy and just all the good, wonderful stories and stuff that we get to hear. It's like tonight about the snakes and stuff, and that's scary enough just looking at that side of it, you know, hearing about snakes. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that all of that came off safely and stuff. And just different things that people in different areas don't even think about, you know, and it's just a wonder that they don't know about things like that, like you know, the pollen all over the car and having to get the hose out and spray it all off so you can see. These things are real, and you made them, dear Father God, so that we can have different fruits and vegetables and stuff, because the little bees will come by and get that pollen and go to the next little plant, and all of a sudden we just got a plant fertilized, and you're going to have some wonderful, wonderful food that you created for us, dear Father God. And it's just so much to think about with what you have done for us, these creations and stuff. And I just thank you, dear Father God. And I just am just so joyful and happy to be a part of Abba Father International. And I just love praying with everybody. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to end with Cry Unto the Lord Prayer Covenant. I think it's very fitting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow, we'll see you, Lord willing, with Dave Hauser. And things are picking up, folks. I think towards the end of March, I feel it inside. That's all. Just a feeling. Things are accelerating now, especially in the Middle East. But I hear there's too much pressure on them here to not react. So we need the Lord to keep them suppressed. Cry unto the Lord prayer covenant. Abba Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, understanding the hour in which we live. We see the day of the Lord approaching, and we are crying out to you according to your word. We cry out in repentance for our sins and the sins of our nations. We cry out for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We realize that the time is short before the Lord Jesus comes for his bride. But according to your word, the outpouring of the Spirit will continue until he comes. We are humble before you with the manifest sins of our nations, recognizing how this offends your holiness. By faith, we are asking for one more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, both to win untold numbers of souls to the Lord Jesus and to hold back the terrible spirit of Antichrist. With this mighty outpouring, we ask for the healing of the brokenhearted, the opening of prison to them that are bound, and the setting at liberty to them that are bruised. Abba, free us completely from the spirit of bondage and fear, and fill us with power, love, and a sound mind. Free us completely of unbelief, and have us grow mighty in faith to please you. In the past, you sent many great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and we're asking our Abba for one more before the groom comes for his bride. The church was birthed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want to go with you in that same power. The great outpouring first came to Jerusalem. We beseech you for another great outpouring of your spirit on your people Israel, like you first sent 2,000 years ago. Abba Father, we love you as little children and believe the word with the same faith as children. We know when we ask our Abba that he hears us. Father, as the end grows near, it is like the days of Noah. To protect us from the wicked one and from the love of the world, we come under the power and authority of your word and your name. We are growing close to you for protection and asking that you heal all the broken hearts of your people, along with freeing us from bondage, so the bride is ready for the groom. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim.
Send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.